Let's, as we turn to Scripture together, we look at a text that is particularly difficult for us in this place. So let's read together from the Gospel of John in the second chapter, picking up where we left off from last week in the 13th verse. Friends, let us listen for the word of the Lord. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. So making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. When he was in Jerusalem during the Passover festival, many believed in his name because they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, would not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to testify about anyone. For he knew himself, for he himself knew what was in everyone. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Holy God, as we lift up this hour of worship to you, may our ears and our eyes and our minds and our hearts be opened and be fertile soil so that we can hear and see and understand and know what it is you have for us today, so that we might finally turn and be healed. Amen. Amen. Jesus did not like the organized religion of his day, or at the very least, he had some problems with it. And the religious leaders, to boot. Hey. So what do we do with a text like this? You know, as I was thinking about this, and I've heard polls like this before, and I've never conducted one myself, but I'd be willing to bet that if we took a quiz of the people, or even if I asked you to list your top five religious experiences or spiritual experiences, or probably better yet said, experiences with God, I would bet that few of those would have happened in places like this, or during formal times of worship. Now, a few of us might have moments of worship that we found were truly magical or transforming in our lives, and we might list those, but again, I would bet few of us would be able to remember a particular worship service that truly changed our lives. Instead, when we think about encounters with God, we think of a manner of different things. Maybe long or meaningful conversations into the night with friends or loved ones. Or, I don't know what the hunters do in their deer stands for hours on end, but I would imagine sometimes they have encounters with God, or maybe it's out in the wilderness. And maybe for some of us, it's those high moments of life, like birth of children, or weddings, or even on deathbeds were experienced surprisingly and powerfully the presence of God to us. Now, Jesus, in this text, he's essentially redefining, or maybe I shouldn't even say redefining, but he's reminding us again about where really the human person and the divine meet. It might be in a place like this. It might be in any place. But the real place where the human and the divine come together is in you and your heart and in the way you live your life. Now, you might say to me, Dan, Jesus is referring to himself, right? As the Son of God, as the new, unique temple where both God and human dwell. And yes, that's true, but I think that's only part of it. Because Paul was famous for saying, you are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. And just as much as Jesus was pointing specifically to himself, I think he was also pointing to his way of life. To be compassionate and loving and forgiving and self-sacrificing in the way that Christ was, that's where God and the human come together. In some ways, Jesus wasn't saying anything new, for the prophets have been saying it long before him, right? Because they were often very critical of religious rituals that were just that, empty rituals. You remember in Amos that we read not long ago that he said, I despise your festivals. Because people were going through the motions and it wasn't changing their lives. And Hosea said, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And the famous line from Micah, right? What should I come before the Lord? Should I bring 1,000 goats? No, but what does the Lord really require of you? But to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And in another place, rend your hearts, not your garments. You know, the Gospel of John does something very interesting with this story of the cleansing of the temple that we know so very well. Two things that I want to pay attention to today, or want you to pay attention to. One is he moves it from the last week of Jesus' life in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The story happens, as we're familiar with, during the last week of Jesus' life, but John puts it right here, right at the beginning, as though he's saying, this story is so important that I want you to pay strong attention to it. Because whatever Jesus is doing here, it's going to be a theme that he's going to be carrying with him through his whole ministry. This sense of redefining where it is that God and the human interact. The other thing that Jesus does, or John does, with this story, is he changes the quote just ever so slightly. Now, you might remember in Matthew, Mark, and Luke again that we're told that Jesus says, stop making my house a den of robbers or thieves, right? As though something corrupt was happening. People were stealing from each other. But instead, John changes the wording and the language and the quote from the Old Testament, actually. Instead, he says, stop making my house a marketplace. Now, at first, you might say, well, 6 one way, 6 the other. But maybe not so. Because in Jesus' time and long before him, the temple was an exchanging place. You see, what happened was in the law, there were rules about the sacrifices that people were required to offer. And it was an extremely unpractical to travel hundreds of miles with your own sheep and goats and doves. And so what people would do is before they left on their journey to Jerusalem, where they had to worship once a year, they would sell what it is they were going to sacrifice, probably, or somehow get the money for it, and they would travel to Jerusalem. And then when they got there, they would buy the sacrifice that they would need. It was necessary that the temple was a marketplace. But I think what Jesus, if I could add a word, what I think might be implied here is Jesus saying, don't make my house just a marketplace. You see, the foundational question that Jesus is raising here is, what is worship really? What is worship really? Because as we come here and we gather, we can't make this just about an empty ritual or checking off that we did our hour. No, this has got to be about our lives encountering the divine. It's got to be about studying the scriptures, learning them, and molding our life after Christ so that we can be just as compassionate and generous and self-sacrificing and loving as he was. And not that weak kind of love either, that love of enemy kind of love. Now that's worship. In just a moment, we're going to ordain and install our elders and our deacons. And I want to say something particularly to you, although it's fine if the rest of you overhear it. But to you, and also to those who are serving as elders and deacons, and heck, on every committee that we have here at church, this is a wonderful text to keep in front of you during your time while you serve. Because what we do here has got to matter. And it's got to be more than just programs and budgets and staff and making sure the building is taken care of, or how entertaining the sermon is, or how good the organ player is, although she's pretty good. It's got to be about more than all of that. It can be those things, but only insofar, right, as they allow us to do what we're supposed to do, to gather people together seeking to meet God and to be transformed in their lives, again, filled with the love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness of God, so that we can be a people that transform our community. You can see the difference, right? One is just a marketplace. One is just business. The other is justice business. It's righteousness business. It's holiness business. Let us be about the second. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I invite you to stand and sing with me.